Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in two places, Leviticus 7, and beginning with verse 11 through verse 38, and then also Deuteronomy 12, verses 17 through 19. Leviticus 7, 11 through 38, Deuteronomy 12, 17 through 19. But let us first sing from Psalter 225, stanzas 1 and 2. How dear to me, O Lord of hosts, in the place where thou dost dwell, the tabernacles of thy grace in pleasantness excel. My spirit longs, yea, even faints, thy sacred courts to see. My thirsting heart and flesh cry out, O living God, for thee. 1 and 2 of 225. Thank you.
Congregation, before we read God's word, let us first read the law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We'll first read Leviticus 7, beginning with verse 11. And this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which he shall offer unto the Lord. If he offer it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil, and unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and cakes mingled with oil of fine flour fried. Besides the cakes, he shall offer for his offering leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offering. And of it shall he offer one out of the whole oblation for an heave offering unto the Lord. And it shall be the priest that sprinkled the blood of the peace offerings. And the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until the morning. But if the sacrifice of his offering be a vow or a voluntary offering, it shall be eaten the same day that he offered his sacrifice. And on the morrow also the remainder of it shall be eaten. But the remainder of the flesh of the sacrifice on the third day shall be burned with fire. If any of the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings be eaten at all on the third day, it shall not be accepted, neither shall it be imputed unto him that offereth it. It shall be an abomination, and the soul that eateth of it shall bear his iniquity. And the flesh that touches any unclean thing shall not be eaten. It shall be burned with fire. And as for the flesh, all that be clean shall eat thereof. But the soul that eateth of the flesh of the sacrifice of peace offerings that pertain unto the Lord, having his uncleanness upon him, even that soul shall be cut off from his people. Moreover, the soul that shall touch any unclean thing, as the uncleanness of man, or any unclean beast, or any abominable unclean thing, and eat of the flesh of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which pertain unto the Lord, even that soul shall be cut off from his people. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, Ye shall eat no manner of fat, of ox, or of sheep, or of goat, and the fat of the beast that dieth of itself, and the fat of that which is torn with beast may be used in any other use, but ye shall in no wise eat of it. For whosoever eateth the fat of the beast, of which men offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, even the soul that eateth it shall be cut off from his people. Moreover, ye shall eat no manner of blood, whether it be of fowl or of beast, in any of your dwellings. Whatsoever soul it be that eateth any manner of blood, even that soul shall be cut off from his people. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, He that offereth the sacrifice of his peace offerings unto the Lord shall bring his oblation unto the Lord of the sacrifice of his peace offering. His own hand shall bring the offerings of the Lord made by fire, the fat with the breast, it shall he bring, that the breast may be waved for a wave offering before the Lord. And the priest shall burn the fat upon the altar, but the breast shall be Aaron's and his sons. And the right shoulder shall ye give unto the priest for an heave offering of the sacrifices of your peace offerings. He among the sons of Aaron that offereth the blood of the peace offerings and the fat shall have the right shoulder for his part. For the wave breast and the heave shoulder have I taken of the children of Israel from off the sacrifices of the peace offerings, and have given them unto Aaron the priest and unto his sons by a statue forever from among the children of Israel. This is the portion of the anointing of Aaron and of the anointing of his sons out of the offerings of the Lord made by fire in the day when he presented them to minister unto the Lord in the priest's office, which the Lord commanded to be given them of the children of Israel in the day that he anointed them by a statue forever throughout their generations. This is the law of the burnt offering, of the meat offering, and of the sin offering, and of the trespass offering, and of the consecrations, and of the sacrifice of the peace offerings, which the Lord commanded Moses in Mount Sinai in the day that he commanded the children of Israel to offer their oblations unto the Lord in the wilderness of Sinai. And then a few more verses, Deuteronomy 12, verses 17 through 19. Thou mayest not eat within thy gates the thigh of thy corn, or of thy wine, or of thy oil, or of the firstlings of thy herds, or of thy flock, nor any of thy vows which thou vowest, nor thy freewill offerings, or heave offerings of thine hand. But thou must eat them before the Lord thy God, in the place which the Lord thy God shall choose, thou and thy son, and thy daughter, and thy manservant, and thy maidservant, and the Levite that is within thy gates, and thou shalt rejoice before the Lord thy God in all that thou puttest thine hands unto. Take heed to thyself, that thou forsakest not the Levite as long as thou livest upon the earth. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God, Thou who dwellest in the heavens, and who art holy, and lifted up, and art in the place of thy glory, as we read in thy word of the third heavens, then who of us is able rightly to draw nigh unto thee? In thy great holiness, in thy great majesty, before whom the holy creatures do prostrate themselves and do cast the crowns also before thee, then it is beyond our finite understanding that we are not able to comprehend who that thou art, where that thou dwellest. And thou knowest us in our state, in our condition, but that we are here upon thy footstool, and thou still givest that we may try to draw nigh unto thee. But thou sayest that thou canst not receive us the way that we are, in and of ourselves, the way that we have been born. Oh, that it may be the experience of many in our midst. Could it be each and every one of us, that we may receive the knowledge of our sin, and that we may feel and experience who and what we are before a holy and a righteous God. Else we shall come with an unholy boldness in this morning hour, young and old together. O Lord, wilt thou convert us? Wilt thou take us from that state in which we have brought ourselves and our father Adam? And wilt thou, with the power of thy Holy Spirit, grant us a complete renewal? Oh, turn us again, Lord. Show to us our greatest misery, and draw us therefrom, and that from death we may receive life, and from living and walking upon a broad way that leadeth to destruction, and that we may be placed while we are still in the land of the living upon that narrow way that leadeth unto life. It is a straight gate that leadeth thereto. Then there is nothing that is able to go in from the side of man, thou knowest. And then it is so necessary that we be stripped of everything from our side, that we may enter only in that way that is acceptable unto thee, in thine only begotten Son. O Lord, then we have no need for him. We have no desire for him and for that way that thou hast made. But wilt thou grant us by thy grace to come to an end of every other way, that we may receive by the power of thy Holy Spirit that blessed insight into that way of thee. For thou sayest, I am the way, I am the life, I am the truth. Oh, that thou may grant unto us, each and every one, that we may be given eyes to behold thee, and that we may see our need for thee in thine only begotten Son. Oh, do make him precious unto us, that we may not go our whole life long under the preaching of thy holy word and the reading of thy word. to our eternal destruction, increasing day by day our great responsibility and our accountability before thy throne, so that we will have to give an answer not only for the callings that come unto us through nature and to every man that is here below, but also for those callings that are coming unto us through thy holy word, and that are coming to everyone that is living under thy word. O Lord, then our stripes shall be many if we shall die in that state as we have been born. Take thou reasons out of thyself to look upon us, young and old together. O Lord, it is a serious matter that we carry a soul and that we go to a great eternity, and that we have to stand before thy throne. And we are children of Adam, the first Adam. But oh, that thou would make us also sons and daughters of thee. And wilt thou grant young and old together a holy unrest, and that we could not be satisfied with all that is here below, and that our hearts may turn from vanity and from sin. And that thou wouldst draw us, O Lord, thy servant that ask of thee, draw me, and we will run after thee. Oh, and thou wilt draw one also of thy children, and then also his mouth shall go open, and his life shall testify, so that it shall be a savor also unto others, that they may be drawn. Oh, and thou wilt begin, Lord, and then thy work shall be spread abroad amongst young and old. Then they shall come weeping and with supplications. And thou wilt lead them and thou wilt draw them. Oh, that thou may do so unto us, that we may not be strangers of that work of thy Holy Spirit. Oh, take reasons out of thyself. And when there are no reasons from our side, and when we lie by nature so dead in sins and in trespasses that we cannot affect our own hearts, no. Now when we come even unto thy house upon thy Sabbath day, and we sit under the preaching and under the reading of thy holy word, oh, that we sit as stocks and as stones from our own sight, and there is nothing that is able to penetrate our hard and stony hearts except the arrows of thy Holy Spirit. Lord, we ask it of thee, for reasons which thou alone hast from thy side, to do it for thy great and holy name's sake, for the coming of thy kingdom here below, for the bringing in of thy 144,000. Thy name shall receive great honor and glory thereby. And when many shall come from the east and from the west, and they shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of God, oh, that we and our children will not be thrust out in that day. Lord, wilt thou look upon all thy children? Thou knowest also those in whom thou hast, and with thy Spirit begun thy own good work. And thou wilt certainly finish it until the day of Jesus Christ, as thou hast promised in thy holy word. But thou knowest how that it is so often from the side of thy people. Oh, then they say by times that the Lord, he has forsaken me, and my God, he hath forgotten me. Oh, that thou may revive, that thou may awake thyself, and wilt thou come and restore thy people? Oh, that thou may lead them from a resting place to resting place, and that thou may give unto them more and more knowledge of themselves, that they may receive also more and more of that great sight of thee, and that they cannot miss, and that thou may teach them more and more of that sacrifice that thou hast made upon that cursed tree, that they may receive the comfort therefrom, that they may receive edification and instruction, that they may also be brought to that place where they may be so willing to follow thee in that way of strife, in that way that their flesh denies, that their flesh rebels against. But oh, that thou may lead them in those ways that are for the instruction of their souls. Remember all the afflicted. Thou knowest where they are, those that have awful diseases, those that have difficulties of mind, of the body, those also that do miss their loved ones and that go alone over this world day by day. All the sorrows, all the cares, all the concerns for the mind and for the body, also the concerns for the family. O Lord, that thou may look upon all those that have special needs, and wilt thou give unto the lonely a visit from above from thee, which is more than all the visits from their loved ones here below. For thou art a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Give it to be experienced, Lord, amongst young and old, in the midst of us, in the poor days in which we are, it is our lot to live here below. Remember all those that have special needs, all the handicapped, all those that are in the prisons, all those that also come to the aid of those that are oppressed in the midst of this world, and all that are helping the sick and the afflicted. All doctors and psychologists and all those that stand in need of thy help, to help also those that need to be helped. Lord, wilt thou look upon those that respond first in all the emergencies? For there are also many in our midst, and the dangers can be many. Wilt thou be with them? And wilt thou help them also when they have also to experience things which are affecting their own minds? Wilt thou help and strengthen them for their work? And could it please thee to so look upon all those that do help the needy? And wilt thou help thyself the needy? And do hear them when they cry, and save their souls when death draws nigh. Help all thy servants, it is thy day. All we may set aside, if we may be given it from thee in this day, all the labors of this world, so that we may worship thee. Lord, we do not know how to worship thee. Thou knowest that we have lost it, and we have thrown it all away. We have departed from it. And so thy Sabbath day, that is a day wherein we carry with us all our carnal hearts, all our vain hearts, our hearts that are still seeking for all that is in this world that cannot satisfy. Oh, could it please thee to take it all away in this day? Oh, could it please thee to give unto us a good day together, in thy house and in our own homes with our families? Oh, may it be a little bit of a true Sabbath day, a little beginning of that Sabbath, wherein we shall carry nothing of that vanity of our hearts. And wilt thou then look upon us in this morning? Help us in the preaching of thy word. Take away everything that hinders. And could it please thee to put away all the devices of the devil, and do give thy word free course, that it may be opened in our heart, that it may come forth with freedom out of our lips. And may it be that it may enter with freedom, with free course in the midst of our flock, here amongst the children, the young people, and the older ones together, that thy spirit may be feelingly
and believingly experienced to be in the midst of us, that thy name may receive all the honor and all the glory, that our souls may receive the profit on our journey to eternity. And we ask it in the forgiveness of all our sins, for Jesus' sake, amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 232, all stanzas. O Lord, to us thy mercy show, and thy salvation now bestow. We wait to hear what God will say. Peace to his people he will speak, and to his saints, but let them seek no more in folly's path to stray. The last collection today is for our school, 232, all stanzas. be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. Who was it? That was Peter. And to whom was it spoken? That was spoken unto the Lord Jesus. What were the circumstances? The Lord Jesus had begun to speak about his suffering, and that the Son of Man would have to suffer many things of the chief priests and of the elders, and be killed, and the third day rise again. But Peter did not agree. And why did he not agree? Because it was a way that his flesh could not agree with. Because it was a way of decreasing. And Peter did not want to go in a way of decreasing. But Peter would rather go a way of increasing, step by step, until the disciples may sit on the right hand and on the left hand of the Lord Jesus in his kingdom. But Peter did not realize that those benefits, they would only come through that way of decreasing, through a way of suffering, through a way of death. We have heard of those benefits, many of those benefits. Do we desire also those benefits? Because we have heard of that benefit of forgiveness. The forgiveness of sin, that is, of the guilt of sin. By what offering, boys and girls? That was by the sin offering. And we have heard there was another benefit, because we have not only guilt, but we have debt by sin. And that there is also the forgiveness of that debt by that trespass offering. We have heard also we have become polluted by sin, and that there is cleansing. There is cleansing through that red heifer offering. We have heard even that God's children, they are not able, then all things are forgiven, to rightly devote themselves unto the Lord. And also for this, there is a remedy. And then through that whole burnt offering, but we are not finished. You say, is there more? Yes, there is more. There is yet another offering. There is yet another blessing. Oh, a great blessing. A precious benefit. Do you desire to know what this is? And we will then consider together with the Lord's help our text out of Deuteronomy chapter 12. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verses 17 through 18. Thou mayest not eat within thy gates the tithe of thy corn, or of thy wine, or of thy oil, or the firstlings of thy herds, or of thy flock, nor any of thy vows which thou vowest, nor thy free will offerings or heave offering of thine hand. But thou must eat them before the Lord thy God, in the place which the Lord thy God shall choose, thou and thy son and thy daughter, and thy manservant and thy maidservant, and the Levite that is within thy gates, and thou shalt rejoice before the Lord thy God in all that thou puttest thine hands unto. So far, the words of our text, the sacrifice of the peace offering. First, the meaning. Second, the antitype. And afterwards, conclude with some words of application. The sacrifice of the peace offering. First, the meaning. Second, the antitype. The peace offering congregation that was in many ways similar to the burnt offering. Burnt offering that was a sweet savor offering, you will remember. And thus it is also with the peace offering. Thus, those two offerings, they are assuming, we said, a good relation. That was not so with the sin offering or with the trespass offering. And actually, this last, the peace offering, that was always offered last, after all of the other offerings, because the peace offering was the offering of completion, and it signified the end or the final purpose of all of the offerings offered unto the Lord. There was a great freedom in the animal that was may be offered for a peace offering, because it may be of the oxen or of the sheep or of the goats, and this one may be either a male or a female. No pigeons, and we hope to see why that it may not be pigeons. They must be, in general, an animal that was without blemish. But even in this, in the peace offering, there was an exception. We have seen that there was a laying on of hands, that there was a confession, that there was sprinkling of the blood, and all of these, they also were done with this peace offering. But then there was also a waving. Thus, this is numbered amongst what are called the wave offerings unto the Lord. And then the inwards, and they were taken out, and the breast and the shoulder, the right shoulder, they were waved before the Lord. That means they were symbolically shown unto the Lord. They were symbolically presented unto the Lord. The breast that was called the wave breast, and the breast that actually was the part of the animal that properly belonged to the Lord. But we know, boys and girls, that the Lord, He is in heaven. And then the Lord does not need food and drink like you and I do. So Thus, that breast that was given unto the Lord, that was presented unto the Lord, but of course the Lord himself in heaven, he cannot partake of that breast. So the Lord, he gave then that breast back unto his servants. Thus, that was from the Lord unto his priest. Then we read of the shoulder, that is the right shoulder or the right leg of that animal, that was also waved. And sometimes that is called the heave offering. That, therefore, we read that it is called the heave shoulder, and that is simply a word that means that the priest, he has taken his part. But that part that has gone directly from the offerer unto the priest. But these altogether, these were waved, and there was a certain kind of a ceremony that they have held these pieces, and they have moved them back and forth, they have raised them up, and they have shown them, they have given them unto the Lord, and they have received them back once again from him. Thus, that was also a wave offering. With the peace offering, just as in the burnt offering, there was also a meat offering and a drink offering, which we have not spoken of before. That is that there was corn, roasted corn, ears of corn, fine flour or cakes of flour, and also oil that was symbolic of the working of the Holy Spirit, and in a natural way made that food palatable. This and also wine as a drink offering that was all offered with this peace offering. These were presented before the Lord, and some of this, a handful that was burned on that altar, some of that wine that was poured out at the base of that altar, and the rest of that meat offering that was going with that wave breast and that heave shoulder unto the priest. That was a symbol, actually, of the maintaining of the covenant of the Lord. But what is now the distinguishing mark of the peace offering? Thus, you will remember, boys and girls, that there was a distinguishing mark of the other offerings. We remember the burnt offering. What was the distinguishing mark of that burnt offering? Well, that offering that was completely burnt. That's why that was called a whole burnt offering, and that symbolized that complete dedication, that devotion unto the Lord. Thus, what is it now? And when we look at the peace offering, what is now the distinguishing mark of the peace offering? That is, that the peace offering ended in a meal. That it was not wholly burnt. It was only the fat that was burnt upon that altar, and therefore that offering that was called actually a slain offering in this sense, like we would slay an animal today, that we may eat it, that we may have a feast. Thus, that was an offering that ended in a meal. Of course, the burnt offering, that was not eaten at all. The whole thing, it was given, dedicated unto the Lord. The sin offering and the trespass offering were both eaten. By whom? They were eaten by the priests. Because the priests were symbolically to bear the iniquity of the people. But the peace offering was different. The peace offering was now shared. The peace offering ended in a meal wherein everyone received his part, his share. Thus the priest, they received that breast and that right shoulder. And the priest, they received that actually on behalf of the Lord and for themselves. And then also the people, we read that together. And then the offerer himself with his family, with his friends, and also with the other Levites. And also to be among them were the poor. Thou mayest not eat within thy gates the tithe of thy corn or of thy wine or of thy oil or firstlings of thy herds or of thy flocks, nor any of thy vows which thou vowest, nor thy freewill offerings or heave offering of thine hand, but thou must eat them before the Lord thy God, in the place which the Lord thy God shall choose, thou and thy son and thy daughter and thy manservant and thy maidservant and the Levite that is within thy gates. Thus, what did that signify? That signified fellowship. That signified communion. And thus, we have the very special meaning, the very special significance of the peace offering. Was there something of forgiveness in that? Certainly. Expiation? Yes. Was there something of the idea of devotion as we have in the burnt offering? There was something of this in there. But now that idea of communion that is being added. And in fact, it is receiving the most significant place. That idea of communion and fellowship is with this offering being brought into the foreground. That is the characteristic feature. That communion that is in the first place with God. With God himself. Because in this meal, it is as if Jehovah himself, he is descending from heaven that he may commune with that offerer. And when that wave breast that is eaten by that priest, then it is a signification, as it were, of that presence of the Lord himself and a communion with the Lord himself. Thus, when there may be that meal, then there is the picture of a blessed peace and communion and fellowship with the Lord. That there is nothing between. And that is the reason that the Lord, he says, and thou shalt rejoice before the Lord thy God. Thus that was to be a very joyful occasion of that communion. And then on the other hand, the rest of this animal that is being shared between this offerer and his friends, so that we see communion not only with the Lord, but we see communion within that church of God. Why was it necessary for that animal to die? That there may be this communion. What does the Lord say in it? The Lord says that you have broken that communion. And that you are not able without a sacrifice to receive that communion with me. And if it will not be with me, then it will not also be among yourselves. But the Lord says, by that sacrifice, that I will receive you into that blessed communion with me once again. And therefore, it was the offering of completion. It was always following all of the other sacrifices, if those sacrifices were brought together. Thus, we have the final purpose. We have the final fruit, the end and purpose of all the sacrifices. That is to reconcile. That is to take away wrath. That is to give peace. And therefore, it has ended in this great joyful feast. There were public as well as private peace offerings. Once every year, at Pentecost, two lambs were offered for a peace offering. That was the only one which was considered to be most holy, which was offered on the north side of the altar, and which was eaten only by the priests and in that holy place. The others, they were slain on the south side of that altar and were considered to be less holy. You remember, boys and girls, when Solomon dedicated the temple, that he offered a peace offering, 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. We read in God's word that was for a peace offering. That is, they were not wholly burnt. That was not for a sin offering, but it was for a feast. With all the people on that joyous occasion. Thus, there were public peace offerings, but then there were also private peace offerings. They were on several occasions. First of all, on occasions of thanksgiving. Then there was a general acknowledgement of the mercies of the Lord. Some of those were obligatory. If a person was spared through a very serious circumstance, his life was given back to him, as it were, from the dead, from the Lord. Then the Lord required of that person a peace offering, that is, a thank offering. But there were others that other thank offerings that were completely done at the free will of a person. We read actually before this institution, we read the first time of such an offering when Laban and Jacob met, when Jacob had fled from his father-in-law and Laban had intended to harm, and the Lord had spared Jacob. He had protected him. And then we read that there was an offering and there they ate together. In the second place, the peace offering was offered at the end, at the fulfillment of a vow. Once that vow had come to its completion, then that offering was offered. That is, also, not only when there was a thanksgiving, actually, but also when there was a supplication. We would say a prayer day. We read about, for example, Israel, when they had to discipline the Benjamites, that they had a prayer day, and there they offered peace offerings. We think about David also, when he was spared and Israel was spared after he had numbered the people, and the Lord stayed the hand of that destroying angel, that David on the threshing floor of Arunah has offered his peace offerings. Finally, there was what was called the free will offering. The Free will offering was not obligatory. That was not demanded by the Lord. But that was something that a man may bring just out of his own free will, out of the desire of his heart. When his heart did swell over with love for the Lord, that he desired to bring an offering unto the Lord. And actually, that is the case, the only case, where a person may bring an animal that was somewhat defective. And those, of course, they are overlapping one another. Sometimes these circumstances that a thank offering, for example, was sometimes free will and sometimes that was not a free will offering. But now to whom does all this point? That is our second thought. That is the anti-type. Because Isaiah, he has prophesied about the fruits of the offering and of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The fruits. And do you know what Isaiah said when he prophesied about those fruits? Then he said, "The sucking child shall play on the hole of the ass. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den." What is that, children? The asp or the cockatrice. That is a snake. That is a poisonous snake, a poisonous serpent. And when you would see your little brother or your little sister who does not know any better, and they are going to be playing near that hole of that serpent, that poisonous serpent, what are you going to do? You are going to run very fast, and you are going to take that little brother or that little sister quickly away, that they are not bitten by that poisonous serpent. What does the Lord say concerning the coming of Christ? Then the Lord says that that sucking child shall play there on that hole of the asp. And that weaned child, he will put his hand there on the cockatrice's den. He says that the wolf shall dwell with the lamb. They will dwell together. What does the wolf do, boys and girls, to the lamb? He will eat the lamb. The Lord says, no, then there is coming a time when that wolf, he is not going to eat that lamb anymore. And that leopard, he will lie down there with the kid. He will not attack that baby goat. No, he is going to lie down there with that kid. And the calf, and the young lion, and the fatling together, and we read, a little child shall lead them. All of them, that little child will dwell among them. Thus, what does Isaiah prophesy about? He prophesies about peace. The peace that shall be brought at the coming of the kingdom of Christ. Where that child will not have to be afraid of that poisonous serpent, because there shall be no fear, there shall be no harm there. We read in the Bible about a wolf who is devouring the little lambs. Where do we read about that? We read about that in Acts 9. Because what do we read there? We read Saul breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, has gone to the chief priests and the scribes, and he has desired of them letters. Thus that wolf, he is devouring those little lambs. But it was only a short time later that we can read that that wolf, he is not devouring them anymore. But we read of the wolf that he is dwelling with the lambs. Because we read, then was Saul certain days with the disciples at Damascus. Thus, there was no fear. And those little children, they may there put their hand by the cockatrice's den. Then there was complete peace. And that prophecy of Isaiah that was being fulfilled. How did it come about? What is the cause? Well, Paul speaks about that himself. He writes about it when he speaks to the Colossians. That is in the first chapter. In the 14th verse, this is what he says. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Thus, he speaks in the first place about the sin offering and the trespass offering. In the 20th verse, he says, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Thus we read in the second place about the peace offering for reconciliation. In the first place, with whom? With God. What does he say to the Romans? He says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Through whom? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. This congregation is in the first place necessary. That is peace with God. Because that peace with our neighbor that is flowing out of that peace with God. The second table of the law, love to my neighbor, that is flowing out of the first table of the law, that is love unto God. How can a man have peace with God? Do you ever ask that? How that it is possible for me to have peace with God. Congregation, there are two parties. There is God. And then there is also man. There is God. And there is also our own self, our own soul. And if there will be peace, then the alienation must be taken away from two sides. Not from one side only. No. No, then the alienation has to be taken away from two sides. And that alienation in the first place has to be taken away from the side of God. Why? He is the only one that has a right to be angry. He is the only one that has a right to be offended. That is even with his elect, whom we read in God's word, he has loved from eternity. But the offense that is lying on the side of man. Do you ever feel that? that the offense that is lying also on your side. And before that offense is taken away, there is no possibility of peace. There is no possibility for reconciliation. Thus, this is in the first place the work of His Son. This is in the first place the purpose of His suffering, of His passion. Listen, David in Psalm 85 sang, "Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin, Selah. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger." That's the anger of the Lord that is turned away, we read, from His people. How? That is by sacrifice. That is through the forgiveness of sin. That is by a peace offering. And by that peace offering, God rests. God rests so that from His side, there is no more wrath. Though they are born in a state of wrath, there is peace, we would say, reverently speaking, because there cannot be anything else, of course, but there is within the Lord Himself peace in consideration, in contemplation of His creature, His people, His elect. Through that peace offering that was actually from eternity, as we read, that He was slain from the foundation of the world. Oh, how powerful is that peace offering. How powerful is that suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ to turn away the wrath of God from His people. Moses tried to do that. When the Lord was angry at His people. And Moses said to the Lord, "Blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book." Was it acceptable? It was not. But what does the Lord say? He says, "The chastisement of our peace that was laid upon Him," that is, that suffering mediator. And with this sacrifice, with this peace offering, the Lord was well satisfied. Then it is no wonder that the Lord, He says, "This is my beloved Son in whom that I am well pleased." And yet, congregation, there is not yet fellowship. There is not yet fellowship with His children. Why not? Because that enmity that is taken away on the side of God, but there is still an enmity that remains. And that enmity that is remaining in the heart of His elect. Paul was loved from eternity. But before that the Lord converted him, there was no fellowship. That man, he had much of his own religion. He could even say that he had lived in good conscience from his youth until now. That means that everything he did in persecuting the church of God that was in good conscience from his own side. He thought they did God's service. And what did he not realize? He did not realize that there was enmity. Enmity living in his heart against the Lord, against the Savior, against his Christ. And thus there is a second work. In order for that fellowship, in order for that meal to be enjoyed, and then that enmity that has also to be removed on the side of man. That is now the work of the Spirit of the Lord. That is the work that is being, that is that Spirit that is being sent out by the Lord Jesus Christ and the Father based on the peace offering. But let us sing 198. 198, 1, 2, and 5. O God, be thy anointed Son, with truth and righteousness endowed, that justice may on earth be done, the meek protected from the proud. 1, 2, and 5 of 198. Congregation, in Psalm 23, we read that David sang, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. beside the still waters. What a peace. What a rest that man may experience. That is probably one of the very first psalms that he has ever written. We do not know when. But then his thoughts, they are going back into the days of his youth. And there we know that fear of the Lord that has already been planted in his heart. Or are you ever jealous of that life, young people? And then there was also, we can read fellowship, because we read that he sings, that thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Then David could have enemies and did have enemies on every side. They were enemies without the kingdom. There were enemies within the kingdom, powerful enemies, and that desired to take his life. But then he may enjoy that blessed communion and fellowship with heaven. Where does such fellowship begin? That does not begin on the side of man. No, we are called to it, at least those of us who are under the word. And then the Lord is calling us back into that blessed communion that he has created us in, not only, but also even a higher communion than that we have been created in. Do you know what he says? He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in unto him, and I will sup with him, and he with me. All that is that calling, that is coming unto that church that is sitting under that word of God from Sabbath after Sabbath day. And now, the Lord, he also says something else. He says, there is none that understandeth. None that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. Do you know what the Lord Jesus said? He says, ye will not come unto me that ye might have life, and that no man can, he cannot come unto me except that the Father draw him. Why not? Because we are dead. You say it is hopeless then for me. No. No, that is not the truth. Young people, if they will say that sometimes from other places, that it is now hopeless for you, in that church that you go to, because there is displayed before you a sovereign God, who must begin it from his own side. Oh, then you hear a lie. A great lie. There was a man. I have heard it said. But congregation, do you know what the Lord Jesus says? He does not only say it is difficult, but he says it is impossible. It is impossible. Oh, do you ever experience the impossibility? Is there a desire? Is there ever a longing? Do you ever look back to that communion, that blessed communion in which you have been created? Oh, with longing that you say, oh, could I come back there again? But that does that ever become for you an impossibility? The Lord Jesus, he did not stop there when he said, with men it is impossible, but he went on. He said, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. Where did it begin with Paul? With that wolf, that he may be made into that lamb, and that he may dwell with those lambs in true harmony and in true peace. Not begin with him. It began in heaven. It began with a God who was from his side reconciled to Paul. Because there was a peace offering that was also offered for Paul. Oh, what other hope can a dead man have than that he would be risen to a new life by him who is able to raise the dead? That is now the great work of that Holy Spirit of the Lord, who was sent out by the Father and the Son based on that peace offering. Oh, he is going out to seek his elect. He is going out to stop them so that they cannot go one step further on that way that they are running headlong away from the Lord. That is a powerful work, must it not be? Do you say that too? Oh, how powerful that will have to be to stop me. But our Father said, a supernatural work. We cannot convince you. We do not stand here with our own word. It is a supernatural work, our fathers say, most powerful. So I'm afraid of that. No. At the same time, they say most delightful, mysterious, astonishing, ineffable, cannot be explained with words. Not inferior in efficacy to the creation itself or to the resurrection from the dead. It is a work that is stopping enemies to do what? To reconcile them. To bring them again in peace and in a blessed communion. Why? Because he wants it to be. Not because they want it to be. They will never turn. That is, congregation, our only hope. How does the Lord accomplish it? He accomplishes it by his callings. Under the word of God, through the preaching of that word, to make the outward calling into an inward calling. Maybe he is a wicked man. Maybe he is going with mockery over the world. On in the ways of outward sin. But do you know what he does not have? Because you cannot see in his heart. He may be laughing, young people. But in his heart there is no peace. Do you know what the Bible says? There is no peace saith my God unto the wicked, no peace. And then what does the Lord do? He says, stop. Thus far, no further. And then he stops. And then he stops. And he cannot take one more step in that direction that natural heart desires. Or maybe it is a religious man. You can say nothing about his life. Nothing. Faithful man. He comes every week to the church. He has a nice character. And do you know what he has? He has a false peace. Because of his religion. In his heart, he says, peace, peace. But there is no peace. And then the Lord comes. One Sabbath. Oh, do you ever bow your knees before the morning of the Sabbath day? Say, Lord, could it be the Sabbath day that I am stopped? That I am stopped with that supernatural work, most powerful, and at the same time, most delightful. Then the Lord stops him. And what does the Lord do? He takes away that peace. That peace? Oh, no, the Lord actually takes away his false peace. He takes away his false peace. And do you know what he gives to him? He gives to him the true peace. The true peace. You say that is later. Oh, that is when he is led further. That is when he may receive the assurance of faith. Then he receives that true peace. Wait a moment. There is something of that true peace that is experienced in the moment of regeneration. You say, how can that be? Because if the Lord converts a person, young people, then you say, what happens? Well, then he has unrest. Then he has no peace anymore. Then he receives sorrow. Then he receives grief. That is all true. Every bit of it is true. And yet there is something. There is something of that true peace that is in that moment planted in his heart. How can it be? That is not so hard to understand. I'll ask you a question. What is our greatest misery? You know what that is, boys and girls? Young people, what is now our greatest misery? Our greatest misery is that we do not know our misery. That we do not know our misery. What is then the first knowledge of our misery? What is that? Well, that is the beginning of deliverance. Thus, the first consciousness that we are on the wrong way, that is actually the first step upon the right way. And the first steps upon the right way, they are accompanied with something of that true peace. Although there is unrest in their soul. But why is it that people, you may ask any one of them, why is it that they would not trade that portion with the whole world? Because they experience something. They experience a peace in it that they have never found if they have served that world for 100 years. The same that is for God's children. When they have wandered away, there is no peace. And where is that peace coming again? When the Lord, He is drawing them again. And then they may say, oh, it is good. It is good to draw near unto God. Congregation, what is the basis? What is the foundation? That is that peace offering. For those who have left the communion and that are not able anymore to bring themselves back into that communion, that is now the final purpose. That is now the final fruit of that suffering of that blessed mediator, that sacrifice, that he may bring that people once again back into that blessed communion with himself, and that will be experienced even by the smallest ones in grace with a desire that they may increase. There is so much drawing in it because it is a peace that passes all understanding, beginning here, the perfection that is reserved for eternity. Oh, then that Simeon, he lifted up that child. Oh, he saw what that child would be. And then he said, Lord, now let thy servant depart in peace, according unto thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we cannot give it unto ourselves, but thou can give it unto us. O wilt thou open our eyes? Wilt thou stop us, Lord, on our way? Else we go with all thy word to our eternal destruction. Look upon us this day and bring us to our homes in safety and in thy house this afternoon with desire, with a prayer, with a cry, and that thou wouldst work, help him that will go before us, forgive all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 55:1-2. The Lord my shepherd holds me within his tender care, and with his flock he folds me. No want shall find me there. 1 and 2 of 55. shall not be afraid. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.